Yeah, I think that'll be easier. Now, I usually...
listen, I thought you said you forsook your Catholic ways. They used to do mass with their backs to the...
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I grew up a Catholic. You're right. I guess you can... anyway. I'm sorry, I usually have like I have like a little projector I bring around with me, but I thought... I've never used it, so I started to leaving it home. And the only time it was not with me, and so I realized I needed it. And I'm sorry about this, but we have a laptop, and so hopefully you can see a little bit here. Okay. Now thank you for having me, and that's a blessing. Thank you for this opportunity. I spoke to Brother Eddie not long ago, and he was happy to have me. So I'm very thankful to him for allowing me to present the ministry. Now, we are the Albert family, and the Lord have called us to Rodrigues Island. And first, let me introduce you to my family. We have my wife, Sasha. I met her at church. You know, I got saved, and I went to church, and then we got married. And then we have Uriah here on the right. He's 7 years old. And then Philly on the left. He's 5 years old, and then we have Ruth, who is 3 years old, and then Esther, who is 1 year old. So that's my family. Now, my sending church is Cornerstone Baptist Church. Well, that's a little church in Western Sydney, in the Blacktown area. And we are in the Mount Druitt area, and in Mount Druitt, we are in the Tregear area. I don't know if you know Sydney, but... You know, it's a bit of a Blacktown is pretty rough, you know, and Mount Druitt is probably the roughest part of Blacktown. You probably know this. You've seen probably things on TV and so on about Mount Druitt, and Tregear. It's probably one of the roughest part of Mount Druitt area. So we live the church is in a very rough area, but we are very thankful because the church is growing. So we have people joining us. We found the people very receptive to the gospel. So we are very thankful to the church. My pastor, he started the church about 21 years ago. So he came to Australia from America. He's a missionary. So he came to Australia and then he started the church. And now they're getting ready to send their first missionary out. That's me. You know, and so that's a blessing. I'm very, very thankful to him. He led me to the Lord, pastor himself. I came to Australia when I was 24 years old, and you know, I come like most people. You come from a third world country to a first world country because you want to be rich, you know, you want to make money, you want to have a better life, and so on. And so I came to Australia for this reason. And then when I was 24. When I was 31 years old, then somebody gave me the gospel. I remember playing tennis one night, and I met this man. His name is Ned, and he said he's a born-again Christian. And I was like, wow, I've never heard this term before. What does that mean? And so, the reason why I ask him this question is because a couple of weeks before that, I started to read my Bible. I started to read my Bible, and I was praying for God to show me what's the way. Because when you leave a third world country and you come to Australia, you just think the world just gonna get better and better, you know, and you're gonna live happily ever after. And when I saw the world getting really bad, I thought, wow, that's a problem. I mean, from my understanding, you know, what you're taught at school, that we used to be some sort of animal and we became the monkey, and the monkey become the man. But tomorrow we become Superman. That's a logical conclusion. That's what they teach. That's exactly. So when I came to Australia and I saw the world getting worse, and I thought to myself, this cannot be. There's a problem somewhere. So I knew it cannot be true what they were teaching. And so I started to look in philosophy and things of this nature. But then I started to read my Bible because my grandma, she told me that the world going to get worse because the Bible says so. And so I started to read the Bible, and I really wanted to know what's in the book. So I started to read it, and I was I'm a very slow reader. I'm still slow at reading. And so what I did is that I was listening to it while I'm working. And so I'm working and listening to the Bible at the same time. So 2 weeks later, now I met a man, and he told me he's a born-again Christian. And when I asked him what born-again means, and this is what he said, two very important things he said to me. He said, I know where I'm going when I die. And then he said this, he says, because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And as a Catholic, it's hard for me to accept this. How can you know when you die where you're going And how can your faith in Jesus be enough to save you? And so I couldn't receive it. So me and him, we had some long discussion about salvation, and I couldn't receive it until one day he took me to church. He took me to church, and my pastor, after service, he took me on the side and he opened the Bible and he started to show me salvation by grace through faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. And then what happened, though, is he turned to Romans chapter number 4, verse number 3, and the Bible said this: what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And this is where I thought, wow, this verse proved me wrong. That look at a man here, he's made righteous by believing. So I thought to myself, wow, I'm wrong. So I went back home. I came back the following Sunday. And by then, I believed that Jesus Christ could save me because he died for me, was buried, and rose again the third day. And so then what I did is that the following Sunday, I came, a pastor, he took me on the side, and then I called on the Lord. He asked me if I would like to be saved, and I said yes. And so and then we prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And the rest is history, amen. And then he set a fire inside of me. I went to all my friends, and I told them, hey, salvation is free. You won't believe it. Salvation is free. And then they hated me. They didn't want to talk to me anymore. And I thought to myself, maybe it's the way I'm speaking it. I tried to speak a different way. But I have to explain to them they're sinners and going to hell, and Jesus can save them, and it's free. And so, but long story short is that I lost all my friends, but I had the local church. A local church was, and by the way, you come to Australia, I came to Australia, I didn't have any family. And so my point is this, all I have was a local church. And so, all I have was my friends, you know. And so when they didn't want to talk to me, so then I was left with a local church. And so every time the church opened, I went there because I didn't have any friend. So that was a blessing because, I was in my church, we evangelize a lot. We're outside in the community, and I'll show you a picture in a minute, and we're reaching the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So every time the church will go out to preach, I'll be with the church. And I believe that's where the Lord spoke to me, when I'm there busy working for God, walking in the Spirit of God. And that's where the Lord put on my heart. He wanted me to go to Rodrigues Island to preach the gospel in Rodrigues Island. You see, I was 31 years old when I heard the gospel being preached simply to me. I never heard the gospel being preached to me clearly, simply, until I reached the age, until this man preached to me the gospel. And so my point is this, and that one thing the Lord, if you will, laid on my heart is that, hey, you've never heard this. And here you are in Australia, loving Australian and preaching the gospel, but what about your own? What about your own people? And I remember reading there in the book of John, it says about Jesus Christ, but he loved his own. And he loved them until the end. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus loved his own. He loved Jews. He came for the Jews, by the way, first. Okay? And he loved his own until the end. I believe that's the Spirit of God that does that. That causes us to love our own. And that's, I believe that was God speaking to me. He wanted me to go and love my own and preach the gospel. And so 2 years ago, I went to Rodrigues Island to, if you will, on a survey trip to make sure that's the will of God. Because guess what? I'd like to stay in Australia. That's a good country. It's a blessing, and like to stay maybe like in a little town further down, not in the busy city, but like down further down, maybe 2 or 3 hours down from Sydney. I would love to stay in a little town and live, if really, a peaceful life and serve a church, you know. But I believe that's not the will of God. I believe the will of God is that we go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rodrigues Island, and that's what we will do. Rodrigues Island. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a small island just in the middle of nowhere. I'll pass it around maybe later if you want to see this picture. But it's between Africa and Australia, so it's just over here. It's so small. It's 108 kilometers square, so that's the size of Darwin. And it's 40,000 people live on the island. Okay, and that's the island I grew up on. Okay, so now Rodrigues Island is part of the Republic of Mauritius, so part of Mauritius Island. And so I lived in Rodrigues Island until I was 21, 22, and then I went to Mauritius, and then I came to Australia. And so that's where Rodrigues is. Now, what we want to do is, we believe the way the Lord is leading us at the moment is, we're going to go help the Hemmingson. There's a missionary already in Mauritius. There's a man called Brother Herrington. He went to Mauritius to take over from Brother Surratt. I'm not sure if you know him. Yes. And so he's in Mauritius already. He has a church. And what we want to do is we want to go there and help Brother Herrington. We want to help him and be a blessing to him, and of course, you know, and learn from him. And we'll do that for a year, and then we'll go on the island of Rodrigues. Now, the verse we'd like to fulfill is this one. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praises in the island. You see, all over the Indian Ocean, there's a lot of his islands. And I'll speak of it in a minute. And the gospel, we want them to hear the gospel. We want them to hear the gospel clearly. And I believe that's where I'm going. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll start a church in Rodrigues. And then eventually in the future, we'll send people in the Indian Ocean, in this little island, so that people will declare his praises in the islands also. Amen. Now, on the island, it's mostly Roman Catholic. The spiritual condition is this. It's mostly Roman Catholic. That's about 70% of Roman Catholic. And then you have Pentecostal, which is a growing movement. That's about like 20-25%. And then you have some Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, Muslims, and a bit of Hindu. Now, Mauritius Island is mainly Hindus. Okay, but Rodrigues Island is mostly Roman Catholic. As I said, myself, I grew up a Roman Catholic. Amen, until I got saved. Now, the place we believe the Lord is leading us to start the work is here in Port Mathurin. That's the capital town of the island, if you will, and 7,000 people live there. So it's easily accessible for most of the island, if you will, and that's why it's the busiest part of the island, and that's why we believe the Lord is leading us to go there first to start the work. I lived in a smaller village when I was growing up, a little bit further away, about half an hour away, but we start the work in Port Mathurin. Now, what is the plan? Our plan is very simple. Our plan is this. We want to follow the Great Commission, okay? And the Great Commission is this. The Great Commission has four key parts, we believe. The first part, we are called to go. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So I see four parts of this. Four parts. So first, we are called to go. Then we are called to preach the gospel. And then we're called to baptize them that get saved. And then we're called to teach them, to disciple them, to teach them to observe all things what the Lord have commanded us to do. And that's what we'll do. Now, here we have a picture of Port Mathurin. It's a busiest, it's in December. It's not usually that busy. And so it's because it's December, you know, Christmas was approaching and that was a busy time. And so what we want to do is, the first thing is, the first part of the Great Commission is to go. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go. And you know how we read the word go? The word go means not to wait for them to come to us. We have to go to them. Amen. We have to depart and leave and reach them. And so that's how we read the word go. And that's what we intend to go. So we intend to go to Mauritius. What I'm trying to say is we're not going to go and wait and hire a place and then pray that God send people to us, even though we will pray for that. But what we're going to go there is to do is we're going to go to Mauritius. And when we're going to go to Mauritius, we'll go to the people. We believe that's how the Bible, that's how we should read. That's what the word go mean. Go mean like you leave. And if I'm asking you to go to the lost, I'm asking you to leave the place where you are and get and reach the lost that I'm calling you to. You agree with me? Now, that's Port Mathurin. So we'll go to the Bible says in the highways and the byways. And that's what we intend to do, okay? The busy part of the island, and that's the fruit market here. If you can't see, that's okay. I'll pass it around later or something of this nature. And so, but we will be in Port Mathurin, the main work. And then we'll do the second part of a Great Commission, and that is to preach the gospel. I have a picture of us here, and we are in Mount Druitt preaching the gospel on the street of Mount Druitt. And the reason why I put this slide in, it's because I want to show you that we are faithfully preaching the gospel in Mount Druitt already. We're not going to go to Mauritius and then be faithful there. We're already faithfully preaching the gospel in Mount Druitt. Actually, I just moved in a new area. I was living in Tregear myself. I moved to Penrith because getting ready to go. And now me and my wife, we don't knock the area where we are. So what I'm trying to say is that we're faithfully preaching. We believe in reaching the people with the gospel. Amen. We believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would say this. We want to preach the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the Catholic... This is what situation in my country. You have the Catholic, and the Catholic will talk about your good deeds. They talk about Jesus, But then they talk about your good deeds. That's an emphasis. Be a good man, basically. That's what I've learned from being a Catholic. Be a good man. Okay. And that's a Catholic. Okay. Now, on the other side, you have a Pentecostal. They're all about wonders and the signs and the healings and the speaking of tongues. And they speak about Jesus too. But nobody's speaking that, hey, the gospel clearly that you can be saved from the condemnation of sin if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day. I've never heard that before. That I could be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we like to do in Mauritius. We like to go and preach the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, then the next part is, what we want to do is, we'll baptize those that get saved. And I believe there will be people that get saved, those that God have prepared their heart, and those that we're going to sow some seed and then follow on and eventually lead them to the Lord. People will get saved. And as people get saved, then we'll do the next thing, is that we'll baptize them. Amen? And then we'll start to disciple them, because the Bible says to teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord have commanded us. That's what we intend to do. We intend to disciple the people. We intend to start Bible study with those that get saved, you know, and then eventually we turn this Bible study into a service and then into a church. And that's how we intend to start a Bible-believing church. And then, Lord willing, eventually, as we go out and we preach the gospel and we're serving each other, we are loving each other, and I believe the Lord will speak to some among us to send us over in other places in the Indian Ocean, or even in the island, or in Mauritius Island. And so, and I believe that's the purpose of a church, to reproduce. Amen. God wants us to reproduce. And that's what we intend to do. We intend to get people saved, baptize them, disciple them, make them grow in the Lord, and then make them go for the Lord. Amen. Now, please, pray for us. My wife, she's not Mauritian, and so she's Australian. It would be a little bit of a change for her. And in French, she says "je pèse sur les mots." It's like it's an understatement. But she's a goodly lady, and she actually, just to tell you how godly she is she left. How's it called this place? Aladala. I don't know if you've ever been in Sydney. Aladala is a nice little town, like 3-4 hours south of Sydney. It's beautiful, close to the beach. That's where she grew up. And when she got saved, she moved to Blacktown. And so just to show you, she's a godly lady. I trust she will do well on the mission field. That's what I want to say. Amen. And so please pray for us that the Lord will allow us to get on the mission field quickly so we can do the work of God. Amen. I appreciate you again. Now, if you have any question, please go ahead. Anybody? Anything you want to ask? Any question you have? No? Yes.
Are you planning to go?
We want to go yesterday. Okay. I believe the Lord is leading us to Rodrigues, and I don't think we're going to come back. I think we'll come back to give an account of where we are up to in the ministry. But I don't believe we're going to come back to live in Australia again, if you will. And so my point is that so we're trying to raise support so we can go there and, if you will, and be there for a long time. And at the moment, hopefully by next year, we don't know, but by next year we'll be able to go. You know, we're raising some support so we can be there and have a full-time ministry. And going out, knocking on doors, and reaching the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Anybody else?
Is there other evangelical churches or movements there?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Pentecostal people in Mauritius. And as I said, it's a big confusion. And by the way, when I went to Mauritius last time on a survey trip, on Rodrigues Island, I spoke to some people. And I didn't meet one person that can give me clearly a testimony of salvation. Now, I met this lady, and she said she's saving up. I believe it, because when I showed her that she cannot lose her salvation, what Jesus have done for her, her eyes just opened up, and she was like, wow, is that what Jesus did for us? I'm like, yes, sister. Broke my heart, because she should have been taught that. She's been going to a church for a long time. And I'm sad that, you know, but anyway, it's just, they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, like the Bible says. We have to rightly divide the Bible, you know, and so it's just, it's a big confusion, you know, about the gospel and so on in Mauritius. Yeah? Anybody else? Yes? Yeah, they don't have the Bible. Yeah. Yes. Well, sorry? Yeah, well, there is Bible on the island, but they don't have a King James Bible, okay? I mean, like, they probably have King James Bible, but they use, most people on the island, even when I was younger, my grandma, she gave me a New Testament in French. Okay, we call it the Louis Segond version. But when I go on the island, of course, we'll stick to the King James Bible. That's what we're going to do. And also, but then I'll preach in Creole, though, because that's not the language that people understand. And use a bit of French as well, because Creole, it's a little bit of a, it's not very rich language. It's a mixture of different languages together, actually. And so it's not very structured. You know, and so when we go there, it will be a bit tricky. It'll be English, French, and Creole together. So you pray for us, so that you know, we want to ultimately want people to understand the Bible, to rightly divide the Bible, you know, and so they can preach the gospel. Yeah.
And that was my question. I was wondering, with the language barrier.
Yeah.
Do you have an interpreter for
that? No. Well, I speak the language.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up there. Yeah. So I speak Creole. And so I'll be preaching in Creole, and I speak Creole. I speak my parents call me once a week or once every 2 weeks or so, and so I speak to them in Creole. That's not a problem. So I do speak the language. Now Mauritius used to be a French colony, and then it became British colony, and then we took our independence. So we speak a little bit of French, quite a bit actually, I would say, and then English a little bit, not too much, like in the sense that you won't hear English on the street, but any formal document as a rule is English. And you taught English at school as well, and but everybody speaks Creole. That's a language that the common men speak, and that's what the language I'd like to preach to the people in, the language of to preach Creole to them. Now Mauritius used to be to have slaves on they used to have slaves on the island, and they took slaves from different parts of Africa and brought them to Mauritius, and then and Rodrigues, and then there was people, of course, like, if you will, Europeans on the island, and so they developed this language called Creole among them. It's like basically a mixture of French, English, and African languages and things of this nature. That's my understanding. If I'm wrong with that, I think I'm pretty sure that's how Creole developed. Yeah. Anybody else?
Are you fearful?
No, I'm not fearful. What I pray about is for my wife and my children, because that would be a big change for them. We'll have to adjust to living like a Mauritian and like a Rodriguean. And I believe they will be blessed by this, because, for example, I see there's the pastor that used that. Pastor Surrett, he had a church there, and he had his children with him for a long time in Mauritius, and he left Australia to go to Mauritius with his children, and I can see that his children are very faithful, and I think what I believe is this: if you go to this third world country, you see reality. Australia is exception to the rule. Australia, America, all this Western nation is an exception. The rule is poverty and deep, if you will, issues in the society. And so when they see this, then they'll see the consequence of. Then they will ask yourself, well, why is that? Then I believe that what the Bible teaches is righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And I believe this will help them walk with God, seeing the consequences, the wages of sin. You know, so, I mean, now we understand that's hell, but also in the sense, like in the life, what happened when a society turned from God, and you can see the misery and the destruction. Even though it's improving now, in the sense that they're developing, but there's still some great issues in the society, and one of the main problems is corruption, and the corruption brings poverty. And then poverty brings sufferings, and then they affect the medical system and everything, you know, but ultimately the heart of man. You understand what I mean? So in this regards, I believe that's a good thing that my children is coming with me and they can see the truth. You understand what I mean? They can see the reality, you know, and that will grow their faith, I believe, in the Bible. Amen. Anybody else? No, they think I'm crazy. They're like, my dad, you know, they're like, what's she doing? You know, I speak to my brother one time and he was like, man, you've become like a child. And I'm like, I take this as a compliment, brother. I'm a child for the Lord, amen. I'm crazy. You're right. I've been brainwashed. White as snow, amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. Now what we'll do is I'll preach to you a sermon. Yeah, that's okay with you? Amen. Now please turn your Bible to Mark chapter 1, please, with me. Mark chapter 1. Sorry, I can't print my sermon, unfortunately, because I'm on the move. So please, sorry, I have to preach from my laptop. I don't like technology. I'm not that good in technology, but I have to do what I have to do, unfortunately. And so please, Mark chapter 1. And we already read the scripture, so what we're going to do is let us bow our head and we'll pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord Father, thank you for being good to us, Lord Father. And Lord Father, please help your people, Lord, today. And Lord, help me to preach, Lord. And Lord, help me to be clear. Give me a clear mind, Lord. And Lord Father, please take me out of the way that your people, Lord, may be blessed, Lord Father. May you help them to hear, Lord, and understand, Lord Father. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your resurrection, Lord Father. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm very happy to be with you on Resurrection Sunday. It's a blessing. You know, yesterday I'm living in Altona at the moment. Altona. And they have a little pier there. I don't know if you've ever been there. They go fishing. There's a lot of people fishing there. And I'll go there and win some fishermen to the Lord, amen. Fish the fishermen. And yesterday I'm talking to this man, and he was telling me his wife left him, and he cannot talk to his children anymore. And he was telling me this crazy story that he couldn't have a kid. And then his wife went to this lady who was a yoga teacher. And then when she came out, she was a lot of sign on her. And I'm thinking, and she said, like, she never looked the same to me after that. And I'm thinking, and he was angry with the situation. And I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for saving me from this situation. God is good, amen. Thank you for saving us from this. And I'm thinking, I never tell him this, but I'm thinking, partly your fault, mate. You should have helped your lady. You know, she's a weaker vessel. You should have protected her spiritually. And now look at what happened. Her life is upside down. What I'm trying to say is that I'm thankful for the Lord, amen. God saved us. You know, sometimes when my face is shaken, I remember myself how I was before. And then, the things that I used to do. And I used to be a heathen. And, yeah. And so I remind myself what the Lord have done for me in my life and my kids and so on. And how I used to run after all these different things in my life that never bring satisfaction. And now I have the Lord. So, you know, I'm blessed. And this helps my faith, you know. And Resurrection Sunday, it's a blessing to be with you, as I said again. And we know he's alive because we just sing it, because he lives in us. Amen. He lives in us. You know, and if you remind yourself, as I do myself, how you were before and what God have done done for you. And you will understand that, hey, listen, yeah, he lives in us. Look at the work that he's doing in us. Not only we know that he lives in us, and look at this. That's a living book we have here. Brethren, think about this a minute. Look at the world, how the world is turning. Imagine if the world was getting better. Now, this book says it's going to get worse. It's going to go down. But if man was getting better and better, you would have to doubt the book. But as the book says, things are getting worse. evil men shall wax worse. And the Bible says this, is that deceiving and being deceived. So man is deceived. And that's what Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'm going there, like I said, in Altona, I'm preaching it to a lot of people. What I find is deception. Deception. People are deceived. And you try to, you know, and to reason with them. But you know, reasoning is appealing to, intellectually. The problem is not intellectual. The problem is in the heart of man. His problem is that he loves his sin. And because he loves his sin, he cannot reason properly. He will not let go of his sin in his mind. And now you're asking him to open his mind. He's never going to do this. In his mind, there's thing in his heart that he doesn't want to let go. And this thing is not holy. And so what I'm trying to say is we have a living book that tells us the future. This book prophesied the future. Think about Israel. Among all nations of the world... Think about this. Look at what's happening with Israel now. You know, Israel is 0.2% of the world population. Yet, as the Bible says, that Israel will be prosperous. And they are prosperous. They say 25% of all Nobel Prizes are won by the Jews. 25%. They are 0.2% of the world population. Think about this a minute. This Jew is prosperous. Not only this. Their peculiar is that they're prosperous, but also they're persecuted. Like the Bible says, they will be persecuted, and they are persecuted. Brethren, this is a living book, and that's a book that tells us that Jesus Christ arose. Amen. And now, if anybody would receive Jesus as a Savior, you know, they can have eternal life, and they can have joy, they can have peace in this world which is messed up. If your mind is your mind is not in Christ, you're not walking in the Spirit lately. I don't know how your mind is. What are you thinking at this very moment? What I'm trying to say is that you keep your mind in this book, and it will bring peace, bring joy to your heart. Amen. Now, what I want to preach today is this: what is expected of a servant of the Lord. We want to know what God expects from us, amen? Now, when the book of Mark, I like the book of Mark myself because you remember John Mark, he's a bit of a quitter, is it? If you're studying your Bible, John Mark, he quit on the work with Paul and Barnabas, but then he got back in the work of God, and Paul found him profitable in the end. And that's why I like this book. I really like this book because I can see myself in John Mark. Sometimes I quit. Sometimes I do quit. But I believe that by the grace of God, you know, we come back, amen? And God is willing to forgive us, amen? Now, the book of Mark portrayed Jesus Christ as a faithful servant. And that's why I'm in the first chapter here, we're going to learn a few things about what expected of us, servant of God. Amen? Now, I used to work for this man. He was when I just came to Australia, I was a waiter, and I worked for him. He's an Italian man. And this guy wanted one thing. He wanted to save money. That's his thing. So you have to work hard and, I don't know, try to save as much as we can. And then later on, I quit. I left this man, and I followed one of my managers that was working there, and he went to work to the Kirribilli Club. Now, at the Kirribilli Club, there was a Jewish man. And he was a better man. Now, this man, he is concerned with one thing, customer service. He wants you to deliver great customer service. And I was a waiter, okay? So you're serving people. Now, not only he wants you to serve people, he wants you to deliver good customer experience, if you will. And so there's one thing he expected from you, one major thing, a smile on your face. He wanted you to smile. I've seen him sack people because they don't smile. This is crazy. I've seen him do that. I was like, wow, this guy is ruthless. But anyway, because he believed in good customer service, and he believed this. He believed you must have a smile on your face when you're serving people. What I'm trying to say is that I'm a servant to David. He paid me. Okay, he hired me. And now, I'm serving the people because he hired me, and I wanted to know what he expects from me. And he expected a smile. And by the way, I want to tell you something. You remember in the book of Nehemiah, when he's in front of a king, and there, when the king, he was sad, and the king was afraid because he was sad, his countenance has fallen, and the king questioned him over that. What happened? He could have died because you don't appear before the king's side. And so my point is this. It's a good principle for us. Don't come to church sad people. Amen. Yeah, come with a smile on your face. You're coming to provoke people unto good works. You're coming to exhort people unto good work. Don't come sad, amen. Let's leave sadness at home. Let's come and rejoice in the Lord, amen. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to show you in this book, the first point, as I said, the Lord have called us to be servant. We are His servant. He paid for us. So we are meant to serve Him. And the Bible says that, hey, listen, we are to present our body, okay, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. That's our job. We are to serve God. That's what God expects from us, amen? And that's the example we get from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was Himself a servant. And remember the great example, what He did was when before He left, He after eating the Last Supper, he took a towel and he girded Himself. And He went down and He washed the feet of a disciple. And He did that and He said, that's what I want you to do to each other. What is He doing? He's serving the people of God. He's serving the people of God and He's expecting the people of God to serve each other. That's example we get for the Lord. He came not to serve. He came not to minister, but to minister. Okay, that's why He's a minister, and that's why He came to do. And so my point is this: let us be servant. And the first thing, what is expected of it, what I want to show you in this text, what is expected of a servant, is in verse Mark chapter 1, is in verse number 2. We're going to read this, and the Bible says, "As it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before you." John was a servant of God. And there's no greater than God. But why God sent John? He was a messenger. John was a messenger of God. And so that's the first thing we have to understand. God expects us to be a messenger. We are His messenger. He expects us to deliver the message that He asked us to. What I'm trying to say is, brethren, that's a great commission. God have asked us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are called to reach the uttermost part of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this text here, what is John doing? John is preaching. Now, he's not preaching the gospel, but what I'm trying to say is that the messenger is delivering the message that God have asked him to do. Now, God asked him to tell the Jews, repent, so they can believe. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. If you will not believe the Bible, it's because you have a problem in your heart. You're unrepentful of some sin. That will be the problem. Your unbelief, it's not intellectual. Somebody will be blue in the face, reasoning with you intellectually, but sin will keep you away from the truth. What I'm trying to say is that John was preaching repentance so they can receive the Messiah, so they can believe in the Lord. Now here we saw Jesus as well preaching, and then he preached a gospel, repent and believe in him, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to reach the uttermost part of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're reading your Bible, you see something in the book of Acts where the Lord say, hey, listen, when you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the world. And so what you see, the example we get and what the Lord expects from us is that, hey, we want to reach the uttermost part of the world. But hey, we want to reach our Jerusalem also. And not only our Jerusalem, we want to reach our Judea and our Samaria. So brethren, what I'm trying to say is that we are called to preach the gospel and preach it to every creature, but starting among us. That's what God wants us to do. A servant of the Lord is a messenger, and messenger is to give the message that God asked him to do, asked him to give. And the message that God wants us to do is that he died for sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. And if anybody will call on him, they'll have eternal life. And that's the gospel. So we are called to give the gospel to the world. In the book of Acts chapter 10, there's a man called Cornelius. You remember him? Okay. Now, this man called Cornelius, he was a very devout man, the Bible says. And very devout, and being devout, the Bible goes on to name his devotion. And he did a lot of amazing things when you're reading, but he was not saved. And God eventually will send him an angel, and this angel will say, go and get Peter. And then Peter would come and will open his mouth, and Peter will preach to them, and then they'll get saved. Okay? Now, what I'm trying to say is this, but one of the devotion of this man, how devout he was, one of the things he did was this, he called all his friends, his family, the Bible called it his kinsmen, and his near friends to come and listen. And there was his workers with him as well, when you read the Bible, and they were waiting for Peter. And when Peter come, here they were waiting for Peter to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thinking this is what God expects from us. God wants us to reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you support me, thank you. We are reaching the uttermost part of the world. Really, Rodriguez, probably. That's really the uttermost part of the world. But my point is this, brethren, is that he wants you to reach your own also. By the way, I believe that's the Spirit of God. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, you will love your own. That's what you see in the Lord, like he loved his own and he loved them until the end. You would love your family, your uncle, your auntie, your grandpa, your grandmother. All you will reach them with the gospel if you love them. And God expects you to love them and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our calling, to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even the uttermost part of the world. And I believe this applied for the church here as well. We are called to reach our Jerusalem here, so the people are around us. Listen, the people need to know there's a church here. They need to know that's what we are called to do. How can this be that there's a neighbor that lives 10 meters from here that they don't know that there's a church here? Brethren, how is that being a good messenger? How is that being a good servant? That's not. And so what I'm trying to say is this, we are called to be good messengers. And so let's reach the world with this message that's been bestowed to us, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. That's a very simple message. But let's give people this message. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a beautiful message, I would say. But not only this, when you tell people about Jesus Christ, there's something special about this. I tell you something, I see God working in my life in many ways when I come to church. Hey, I'm preaching, and I believe God, when I finish here, I'll be full of the Spirit of God. I'll be like, Lord, thank you, Lord. I feel like I did something good for the Lord. But I tell you something, when I'm out there giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit is working in a special way. And that's a good work. That's a good special work. That's good force. Now, this increased my faith. That's good. And so what I'm trying to say is let's preach, let's be good servant, let's be good messengers because we are good servant, and let's reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is good for you also. It's a good work. And by the way, God expects people to work for him. That's what he did to Adam when he called Adam, he saved Adam, he put him in the garden, and he says, take care of the garden. He didn't leave Adam idle. No. Brethren, Adam was given work. And so my point is this, it's good for us, brethren. Brethren, if you're sitting here today and you're thinking to yourself, oh, when it's time to go home? I have a life to live. Brethren, I tell you something. Like, the Christian life will be very, very hard to live. So what I'm trying to say, live how Christ lived will be easier. Then you'll have the joy, the peace that God has in his heart. You won't be miserable here in church. You'll enjoy church. What I'm trying to say, go reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't have one with me, but I use these tracts, and I'll take it, put it in my pocket, and I go around and I'll give someone the tracts, and I said, hey, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'll do this. Are you a Christian? And the reason why I do this is because I want to start a conversation. I want to win them. I just don't want to give them a tract. By the way, I think the tract become a problem if we are doing this. Because our calling is to preach the gospel, not to, if you will, you give them a tract. I remember giving people tract, and then I'll ask them, hey, what did you find in the tract? Oh, yeah, be good. That's not what this tract is about, mate. But that's what they got from it. So my point is this, we want to reason with people. We want to reason and address the question that they have and the misunderstanding. And now they might hate us for this. Okay, of course, what the Bible says, the preaching of a cross is to them that perish foolishness. But my point is this, though, that we are called to preach the gospel. This will bring joy in your heart. It will help you grow as a Christian. Do you know what you need? You need faith. That's the key. You need faith. And the only way to get faith is by faith to do what God has asked you to do. And faith pleases God, and faith will help you see a different way. What I'm trying to say, preach the gospel. Love your own. Love your own. Hey, listen, if you think the world is better, go and live in the world. Do it for a little while. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you. But if don't live in between. Don't live in between. That's not good. God wants you to be, be fervent for him. God doesn't want, by the way, what happened to the church of Laodicea? They were lukewarm. And do you know what God said? I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what God said to the children of Israel. To the church, at Laodicea. Here, the church of Laodicea, they were lukewarm. And God said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. While you study this term, do you know what it's connected to? The Bible says, I will hide my face from thee, and then I will see your latter end. It's talking about a separation that happened when man is not, their heart is bent towards the world, if you will. They're doing things of God. Maybe they come to church on Sunday morning, you know, but the church is not the center of their life. Christ is not the center of their life. They're living their life, if you will, you know, yeah, come to church. We are Christian. You know, that's what Christian does. And then they go and live in the world. And God say, I'm going to hide my face from you, and I'm going to see the latter end. Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. Your children will be without a church. If we're not doing being a servant of God, we're not doing the will of God, we're not doing the work of God, your child, God will take away the candlestick, the Bible says. He'll take away your church away. And then what will your children be? By the way, I'm going to tell you this, brethren. What about your country? What's happening to your country? This country used to be a great country, I believe, because I can see it. I mean, I was just 10 years. I can see the difference. What's happening to this country? I'll tell you what's happening to this country. It's no longer the Christian don't have the influence they used to have. Why? Because Christians are lukewarm, because that's the age we are living. And I believe Christians are lukewarm because they're not doing what God asked them to do. I tell you, the Christianity is very simple. To love Jesus Christ. And if you love someone, this is what you do. You love the Spirit. You love their words. You love their form. You love their ways. Is it? That's just simple. That's simple love. If I have my wife, I love her, and I love this part of her. And so it is with Christianity. You love the Lord. You love his Bible. You love his word. You love the Lord. Well, you love his body, which is the Christ, which is, sorry, the church. You love his body. You love the Lord. Well, you love his ways. You love his works. And you go out and you do what God has asked you. If you love his work, then you preach the word of God. Brethren, I tell you, what I'm trying to bring a bit of fear in your heart, because it's needful to do so, and because God wants us to fear him, because he's a God of judgment also. He's a God of love. God loves us, amen. It's like my child. I love my child. But I want him to know that if he's going to do wicked, I'm going to judge him. We're gonna bring a whipping, and because daddy not gonna, because that's evil in the house of daddy to do these things. So what I'm trying to say is that, brethren, just make sure you understand that if you're not preaching the word of God, which helps you walk by faith, if there are gonna be consequences for this, in the sense that you will end up like the, you will go with a spirit of age, which is a spirit of lukewarmness, a spirit of unthankfulness, a spirit of unfaithfulness. That's a spirit of age. That's a church of Laodicea, and that's what you see now. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second thing I see is a servant. Please go with me to verse number 16 and 17, please. I don't have long to preach. I won't preach long, amen? Because our attention span is about 5 minutes lately. And that's okay. That's a good. That's a time we live in, amen? Now, Mark chapter 1, and we're going to go verse 16. The Bible says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. brethren, that's the Lord here walking by the Sea of Galilee. If you're studying your Bible, what you see at this very point is that in the book of John tells you that Simon and Andrew, they already believe in the Lord. They already received him as a Messiah. They believed he was a Messiah. And now, so they believed in him, and now he's going, and what he's doing, he's going to make them disciple. He's going to call them to be disciple. What I'm trying to say is this, is I believe this, a servant of the Lord must be, listen to this, a maker of disciples, because that's what we get from the Lord. God wants us to make disciples. So now I'm not talking about just preaching the gospel here. Like I said, that's what I just did before. That's true too. That's what the first thing we do. But when people get saved, we have to make them to become disciples. That's what the principle we are getting here. We are called to be maker of, like Jesus did. Come, lead after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Andrew and Simon here, they were not fishers of men. You agree with me? They were fishers of fish. Now they had to be. Jesus said, "Okay, now come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." So it will require there's something the Lord gonna do to make these men to become fishers of men. Do you agree with me? And so must we. This is our calling, brethren. We are called to make disciples. What I'm trying to do is like we are called to build disciples. These people that get saved, they need, it's like they're little plants. They need to grow. They need to grow into a tree that bear fruits for the Lord. And what they need is that they need you. They need us. They need the servant of the Lord to help them. And hence, the need for a good church. We need a good church, because that's in a church that they will grow. That's in a church they'll glow and they will go. That's in a church that they learn to minister. It's not natural. Naturally, men think of himself. He needs to be taught these things to become a minister. And so hence, if you have a good church and you're serving each other, they would, by the way, I tell you this, remember what the Bible says, the Lord in Hebrews, he says, not to forsake the assembling of us together. And then he goes on to say, but hey, listen, to provoke one another unto good works. And then he says, exhorting one another, even so as we see this day approaching. So much the more as we see this day approaching. So the first thing we see here is that God wants us to meet more. Okay, that's obvious. Okay, as time passes, as we're getting closer to his coming, as the world gets more evil, we need to work more. But what you see in this also is that we provoke each other unto good works. We exhort one another. And that's what these people need. Like this, somebody that is just born again, they're a child in the Lord. And so they need to grow. They need to be provoked unto good work. They need to be exhorted to do good. You understand what I mean? And so what am I saying? A servant of the Lord is a maker of disciples. He wants this man, if you love Jesus Christ, you want this man that you've just saved, you want him to be a fisher of men. You just don't want to leave him to himself. You want to bring him to church and have a good church that will help them grow, that will help them to minister. Also, I would say this, help them to submit. That's crazy, but we have to learn this. We don't naturally, we don't want to submit. We have to come to a church and we'll have somebody there to submit to, a pastor to submit to, and people in leadership to submit to. That's good for us. Naturally, we are rebels. I said, we. I'm like this too. I had to learn it. But where do you learn this? You learn this at a local church. We need a good church because we are called to be makers of disciples. You understand what I'm trying to say? Have brethren. By the way, we need church. So much the more as we see this day approaching. I don't... We might not fully understand it, but we need each other a lot. We are like, do you know what? I remember making fire. I like making fire. And this is what I observe making fire. And you need three types of wood. You need these little pieces of wood, okay? And then you need a bit like a medium-sized one. And then the bigger part, the thick one. And then you start the little one. They lit very quickly, and they'll burn. And then you put the medium one in, and they will set the medium one on fire. And then you put the bigger one in. The bigger one will not burn hard, that you will keep the fire going for a long time. I believe that's a church is like that. A lot of you see a man just got saved. He's on fire. But this fire not going to last for too long. It lasts 2 weeks, months. But the fire is a blessing. It's a blessing. this fire gonna lit up the bigger one. The bigger one, they're lit, you know. They've been there for a long time. They know the race is long, you know. So the older one, they've been there for a long time. They're not burning hard, but they're burning. And that's a blessing. So that's an example to the younger one. And so what I'm trying to say is that we need each other. And we need to meet so much the more as we see, because we need a good church. And we need a good church because we need to make this, we need to be makers of disciples. We need these people to become fishers of men. You understand what I mean? And so my point is this, brethren, come to church. Meet. And I'm not saying we have to have a service every day. You know, we have to have a worship service. You know, at church on Thursday, I just showed you the picture. We meet on the street to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's church. And I believe the Lord is pleased with this. Now, the early church met every day. Every day. And Christian is having a trouble to go one time on Sunday to come to church on time. I mean, what is going on? I tell you something, brother. What is at the end of this? Think very, very clearly what's going to happen to our children and grandchildren and so on. What I'm trying to say, you know, I met this man and he's talking. He came to church on Sunday morning. Okay, and I ended up talking to him, and he was telling me how, yeah, the children, we are busy with the children. The children on Monday do this. They on Sunday they have football. On Wednesday they have swimming and all these things. I'm thinking, of course you cannot come to church. No, you're doing all these things. And now the spirit is winning, but the flesh is weak. And now you start doing this and you're not going to come to church. What I'm trying to say, brethren, we need a good church. We need a good church, because a good church will make disciple. And then, you know, will make people to grow and glow and go for the Lord. Amen. Next part. And then our last point. We're going to read verse 17 and 18. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their net and followed after him. A servant of the Lord must be, listen to this, a forsaker. That's what I see. Look at what happened. The Lord have called them to follow him now. Come ye after me, follow me. To follow, you have to forsake. That's just what it is. Brethren, we have to be forsakers. That's what God expects from us. If you don't forsake, you will not follow. And as I said, we talk about this man who has children and coming to church just once a week. And I believe eventually he might not come. But my point is this, that's an idea that needs to be forsaken. That's a worldly idea that the children need sports and swimming and ballet dancing and all of this overseeing coming to church and seeing people on fire for the Lord and listening to the preaching and growing in the Lord. That's a mistake. And I'm not saying all of these are sin. I'm not saying this, okay? I'm not saying doing sport is sin. I'm not saying taking your children to the swimming and so on is a sin. No, brethren. What I'm trying to say is that when you put this first, that become a problem. It's an idea you should forsake. We're Christian now. We're Christian and we should be thinking a different way. By the way, we need to forsake. What do we need to forsake? All the idols that we used to worship. Do you know, I tell you something? I used to play tennis. I used to play it every day because I want to be good at it. I wanted to be professional, actually. I never did. Praise the Lord. But my point is this, is when I became a Christian, I understood, now I have to forsake this. If I go to play tennis every day, I won't have time to serve the Lord. I'm a servant of God. So I need to forsake tennis. And by the way, tennis became like an idol for me. I don't know what your idol is. It might be football. It might be anything. But you continue with your idol while you're Christian, you will not serve God. You will not follow Jesus Christ. You will not be a good disciple because you're not forsaking what God is asking you to forsake. A servant of the Lord is called to forsake. Be a forsaker. Amen? Brethren, they say the average Christian heathen people. Okay, hopefully Christian don't do that. But they say they spent like hours on their phone. This needs to be forsaken. If you're spending hours on your phone, how can you serve God? How can we serve God if we're wasting this time? What I'm trying to say is that there's things to forsake. And I don't know what God wants you to forsake in your life. But please consider that if you don't forsake, like God wants you to, what God is asking you to forsake, you cannot follow Jesus Christ. And look at what the word he's using to follow here. He says, come ye after me. You know what it says about David? That he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted God to love him. He wanted God. David was a good man. He wanted God to love him. And so if you're not forsaking what God is asking, you will not go after him. You will not want the Lord. You will not love him. You will not want him to love you. And here you are in the world in your mess, and you're miserable in your mess that you've created. And you still think, and that's a problem, because now your sin is affecting your thoughts. In your thoughts, that's the right way. And you don't have a preacher coming to you, as somebody coming and reasoning with you, and you accepting these things as truth. You're going to stay there for a long time before you come out of this mess. And now think of the consequence about your children and so on. What's going to happen to them when they see their daddy? And I've seen that many times, by the way, where people, they come to church, you know, they've left one church, they come to our church, faithful for a little while, and then slowly, slowly, they back down. Because there's things in their life, they're still not leaving. And then they leave. And then they might come back a couple of years down the road. But you can see the children are different. The children are different. And I'm thinking, that's selfish. That's selfish, mate. You follow your sin, and now look at the consequence on your kids. Look at the consequence of kids. There's no love in this. Where's love in that? Not only you didn't love the people of God, you left them, and you didn't love your own children? Look at them now, mate. That's a mess. What I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord for Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Brethren, what I'm trying to say is, we're called to forsake. Amen. And then we're called to be a good messenger of the Lord. Amen. Let's do this. Amen. Let's do work for the Lord. Let's be a good servant for the Lord. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for hearing me. I went a little bit over, but praise the Lord. Thank you, brother.